Today on Family Talk.
What will happen if the Supreme Court strikes down all state bans on gay marriage in the United States? How will that impact your family? And as a believer, how should you respond? Today on Family Talk, you'll find out. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we are once again interrupting our regularly scheduled programming to bring you the final part of an important series on the upcoming Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage. The effects of this decision will reach far into the future, and today my dad will talk with three experts on how you can and should respond. The first guest is the founder of Vision America, Dr. Rick Scarborough. He has a doctorate in ministry from Louisiana Baptist Theological Seminary, and he has been a pastor and full-time evangelist at different parts in his life. Matt Staver will also be on the program today. He is one of the nation's preeminent constitutional attorneys and the founder of the Liberty Council. Matt has personally argued two landmark cases before the United States Supreme Court and has written numerous briefs before the High Court. Finally, my dad will be joined with Tim Wildman, who is the president of the American Family Association and of American Family Radio. Tim also leads spiritual heritage tours to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. For those that can't stay with us throughout the entire program, right now is the best time to join Family Talk financially. Thanks to a generous gift from one of our supporters, we can match every single donation dollar per dollar through the end of this month. To donate, click on the Donate tab at drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. And as a thank you for your donation, we'll send you my dad's latest book, Your Legacy, and the DVD that corresponds from our new film series, Building a Family Legacy. Once again, call us at 877-732-6825 or click the Donate tab at drjamesdobson.org. Let's join the conversation with Dr. Rick Scarborough, Matt Staver, and Tim Wildman, along with my dad, on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This decision to be handed down by the Supreme Court, apparently the first week or two of June, is not the end of the matter. People can say, well, what will this mean to have legalized same-sex marriage? Well, you got to ask a broader question than that. What will it mean beyond the issue itself? Take a run at that, because this is going to touch, I said this in the first program, but this is going to touch every dimension of society. Explain how.
Well, let's take a look at Florida as an example. We just received a call at Liberty Council from a pastor who received a call from someone who is working with a nationally well-known homosexual organization. And apparently the strategy in that particular organization, and it has offices in all the different states and in Washington, D.C., is that they are targeting different churches. So if the Supreme Court comes down with a ruling, they already are going to go to these different churches. They know which churches they're going to. And one of the persons within this homosexual organization was very uncomfortable with this strategy and actually called the pastor of one of the churches that's on this target list. What are they going to do? They're going to try to go there and do several things. One, they want to have the pastor involve in a same-sex ceremony. When the pastor doesn't do it, they're going to file suit and civil complaints against that.
That'll
church.
Be good. I hope they do that.
Yeah. That's one of their strategies. But one of the things
be careful.
That
will, yeah. You may get what you
well,
want.
No, but I hope they do that. Excuse me if I interrupted you, Matt, but I hope the other side does that, because I think they'll be overplaying their hand.
No, I think they will.
It could backfire on them.
And I think one of the things that we have to really understand is the next day when we wake up, or when we wake up, we read it in the newspaper, it's not like life is going to change in that instant, but it'll change very rapidly. And what will happen is, you will have the passage of different kinds of laws. You will have the enforcement of different kinds of situations, whether it is use of your church facilities, ceremonies of same-sex weddings, photographers, businesses, licenses, even licensing for attorneys, licensing for doctors, licensing for counselors. All of these things will be affected across the country, and you will be forced, just like, for example, what happened with the founder of Chick-fil-A. He comes out and says, I believe in marriage as the union of a man and a woman. What happens? The mayor of Chicago, the mayor of District of Columbia says, well, then you can't have a Chick-fil-A in my city. University campuses are kicking Chick-fil-A off the university campuses.
These
Why?
Are the tolerant and diverse
These are the
people
this would be,
doing
yeah,
this
would be the
tolerance movement.
This is the tolerance that's
that
really
banning
intolerant.
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, that is absolutely trying to push the agenda and use the force of law to do so.
They're now pushing with lightning speed a series of laws that once this court decision is rendered, they'll be able to mobilize against Bible preachers, against those who hold sacred the scripture. They're setting editorially through writers like Frank Bruni. They're just overnight, or in the last days, the president has come out in favor, as you mentioned earlier, Dr. Dobson, to make it illegal to exercise reparative therapy, even if requested, and that will be applied to preachers. But going all the way back to the first year in office, after repeated attempts to include sexual orientation in hate crimes legislation, one of the first things Barack Obama did was include that as a protected class. If you look at that law, I think it was Matt that first made me aware of this, and also my congressman, Louis Gohmert, who was a former sitting judge and appellate court judge in Texas. He said to me, among others, he said, Rick, in hate crimes legislation, if you so much as speak out against homosexuality and somebody hears you over the radio or television or in your congregation and then goes out and acts out a hate crime against a protected class, in this case, a homosexual, you will be an accomplice and an accessory to that crime for having spoken what you believe to be the truth. Now, to date, no one that I'm aware of has been prosecuted in that second level of hate crime, in other words, as an accomplice. But once this law's passed, they're going to quickly mold around a whole legal strata of laws, I should say, where they can begin coming after the more visible. You know, the Baker and people like that, they were targeted. Homosexual activists knew that they would live their faith. And so they went into those places, those establishments, with the intent of shutting them down, of making them an example, of slapping them so hard with fines that a more shy Christian would just avoid the issue and the conflict. They're going to do that with the most visible preachers like us who are right now on this broadcast.
How about the matter of hiring, Rick? You know, are churches and Christian organizations going to be forced to hire people with whom they disagree theologically?
I think perhaps in the actual ministering roles, we'll still be protected. That'll be our religious freedom. But when it comes to a maintenance engineer, or when it comes to office staff, when it comes to support staff, I think they will begin sending plants. They'll try to trap biblical preachers to shut down that organization, to shut down that point of light.
But here's a situation, and we go back to elevating this to the same protected category as race. If you have someone who's African American and they apply to teach your fifth grade class, and they say that they affirm your doctrinal statement, whatever that is, but their skin color is different than most of the people in your employment. And you say, no, we only hire whites. I'm sorry, we don't hire African Americans. Well, that's a racial discrimination, and the person would win that case. Now, if you have someone else who comes to you and says, well, we also subscribe to you, we believe in all these different doctrines, but I'm getting ready to now go out this week and I'm getting married to another man. I'm a man. I'm getting married to another man. You come back to work on a week after you have this ceremony. And now the school, church school says, we can't allow you to continue teaching because that sends the wrong message, because we believe in marriage as a union of a man and a woman. I think they would have the same kind of claim against the church and the school as the person who is a person of color. And so that's what ultimately happens. If you can wrap your mind around the implications of elevating this to the same level as race, what you cannot do legally with respect to race, you will not be able to do legally with respect to the sexual behavior. So tax exemption.
Yeah.
Will be the same thing.
Tim, that applies to AFA.
Yeah.
Would you do if such a decision comes down and then you're forced on pain of losing your tax-exempt status to hire people that are to live contradictorily to everything you stand for?
Well, if someone came into our office, if the scenario that you guys have talked about here, should the Supreme Court say same-sex, quote, marriage is legal, and then they wanted to come into our office and say, even though you're a Christian organization, you must hire me because I am a homosexual or I am a lesbian or whatever, we would have to say
or,
no.
Or living in sin.
Or living in sin.
A heterosexual context. Issue.
Exactly. We would have to say, you know, no, we can't do that. And so if we were then sued because of that and we lost our tax-exempt status, 501c3 IRS tax-exempt status, and we would just have to lose it if it meant surrendering on our moral values that the Bible teaches about. Now, I hope it doesn't come to that, and that's why we're here today, to hopefully mobilize enough Christians to respond so that it doesn't come.
And I hope they'll go to defendmarriage.org and sign that petition. We're trying
what
to
What does that petition say?
Rick, you need to explain that in greater detail.
It's the pledge that we've been circulating now. We have over 250 leaders in America that have signed on to this pledge. We're opening it up to anybody that stands with us, but you can read the pledge online, and if you're in agreement with it, sign it. It's the website is defendmarriage.org. Defendmarriage.org. You can read the pledge that Dr. Dobson and Matt Staver and myself, along with Tim, initiated, and now we've added 250 leaders. We're now opening it to what we pray will be hundreds of thousands of ordinary people who just are rank and file Christians who love Jesus and who make our churches what they are today, to sign with us. And make sure your pastor sees that pledge. Make sure he looks carefully at what it says, because what we're basically saying is, if the Supreme Court rules adversely, redefines marriage, we will not recognize the authority of that court in this instance. We have all respect for those in authority over us, but when it comes to obeying God or man, we always choose God.
Guys, this is a supernatural attack on the family.
That's right.
By Satan. And I want to, just for a minute, I want you to think about this for a minute. Here you have a group of people, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered movement, which I think the most accurate stats show that 1.7% of Americans fall into that category. 1.7%. Okay. If you take that, cut that in half, which I would think would be generous in terms of the number of activists that were within that group. Most people in the LGBT movement just want to be left alone. They're not part of the human rights campaign or these activist organizations. So let's just say under 1% of the American public are part of this movement to attack Christian values and the family and promote the LGBT agenda. So think about that. That is a tiny fraction of people. But think about their power that they wielded in Hollywood, in government, in business. I use the word supernatural. That's the only way you can describe it, because the influence that they've had far outweighs the number of people that they actually have in their movement. And granted, they have people who agree with their philosophy in Hollywood, the news media, and so forth. So they're sympathizers, and they help them promote their agenda. But I just wanted to step back for just a minute and say this is a tiny percentage of people that are pushing this on the vast majority of Americans being aided and abetted by the federal courts in many respects. And so, you know, we need to realize if we just had our people act a little more conscientiously, the numbers that we have far exceed the numbers that
described. Innately, Christians are trained early on to obey those in authority over us,
sure,
to exercise love and
Romans
forgiveness.
Romans 13,
that's right? And love and forgiveness. And in this case, it works against us. We're so afraid we might offend or hurt their feelings that we tend to just avoid the subject. But now they're coming after
us. Yes, they are.
We have to respond.
And, you know, the difference here is it is a supernatural issue that's taking place. It's a spiritual warfare and attack like nothing else. Marriage has three different relationships or components that are fundamentally different than any other relationship. It has a unitive component, the two shall become one flesh. No other relationship in the scriptures or in human history has ever had that kind of unitive component. It's different than a mom and a daughter, or father and a son. The two become one flesh. It's got a procreative component. You're procreating another human being in the very image of God, the highest created order. And Ephesians 5 says it has a spiritual component because it's an illustration of Christ's relationship with his church. It's Amen. Unitive, procreative, and spiritual. When you attack marriage and you look at a gender based relationship between man and woman, male and female, and you say that gender doesn't matter, it is a fundamental assault on God himself. It is putting yourself in the role of the creator, that I will recreate what God created, that I will not call good what God called good. It is back to the Garden of Eden. You don't want to eat that apple? Well, the reason why is because you'll become like God. This is putting yourself in the creative role. Excellent. And disavowing the creation of our Creator. And so it is a spiritual issue that we need to pray for. There's a marriage march that's taking place in Washington, D.C., April 25, and we're asking people to pray April 23, 24, and 25 to that march and maybe participate in the march in Washington, D.C., but also sign this pledge. Pray about it. And I don't think we're just looking for popularity polls here. We're looking for people who count the cost, who understand the times. And the pledge sets forth the fundamental essence of marriage and says it collides so much with our beliefs, we have no choice but to be Daniel in the lion's den, to be the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace, to be Esther. We have no choice but to, as the apostles were told, you can't preach in the name of Jesus, we'll let you go. And they said, no, we have to obey God. Then, man, we have no choice but to obey God in this area, and a court decision to the contrary cannot be respected.
Well, to our listeners who have been disturbed by what we've said in these three programs, I would like them to think seriously about taking just a few minutes to go to the website and signing this pledge. What are you doing to let your voice be heard? Yeah, many of you didn't even vote. You wouldn't take 15 minutes to go to the polling place and vote. And Rick, you're a Southern Baptist minister. I've been thinking about those pastors, those people in the clergy who are compassionate toward those who have attractions to same-sex individuals. And so their inclination is to be all-inclusive and put your arm around them. I would like them to think just for a moment about LGBT.
That's right.
The B stands for bisexual. That's orgies.
That's right.
Are you really going to support this?
I'm so glad you hit that. And also transgendered, which means those who are confused about their gender on any given day. The men want access to the women's restroom and locker room. We have a case recently where a woman was kicked out of her health club for complaining about seeing a man who was taking a shower right next to her in the women's shower because on that day he felt like a woman.
It was Planet Fitness company.
That's right.
Yeah. What about the little girl that's in the restroom alone?
Correct.
And in comes a man dressed like a woman? I mean,
and that happened in a institution out west, where a man came in and exposed himself, and the mother complained, and the authorities said, well, no, he has the right to be able to use that restroom. We have to wrap our arms around every person who's made in the image of God, and that's every person. We're all his creation. We're all flawed. We're all sinners. What we cannot do, however, is just simply remain silent when one of God's creation participates in and or the government promotes a lifestyle that is absolutely harmful. That's not showing the kind of love for God's creation.
We've replaced love with the word tolerance.
I'd like to make sure everybody understands this too. Being immoral as a heterosexual is morally equivalent to a homosexual act. There's no difference between the two. We put the emphasis in our movement on traditional marriage for good reason, but we say the same thing, or should be saying the same thing in the church to those who have never married, and their attraction to the opposite sex is genetic, so that doesn't change anything. But we're asking those individuals to remain celibate.
Pastors,
we're not doing it, but the scripture is doing
that's
it.
Right. Pastors, listen carefully, if you will. I am a pastor, and I hope God will communicate to you how much I love you. But to borrow from Martin Niemöller, a famous quote that is often used, I'm going to borrow his words and rephrase them in modern language. They came for the baker. I wasn't a baker, so I didn't say anything. They came for the florist, but I wasn't a florist, so I said nothing. They came for the chaplains, and I wasn't a chaplain, so I remained silent. They came for five preachers in Houston who had the courage to speak out against an unrighteous ruling by the city council. They came after their sermons and came after them, but I wasn't a pastor involved in that kind of an issue, so I said nothing. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak. Pastors, they are coming after you. speak while you still have a voice.
And, you know, this is a very heavy subject. There's no question about it, but it's coming to every single one of us. And I want to give some people encouragement as well. You know, Esther faced a situation where a decree went out and there's no way a referendum, a popularity poll, or even the king's change of mind could change it. Not that you're going to be discriminated against, not that you're going to be stigmatized, but you're all going to die solely because you're a Jew. And here's a specific date. What happened was Esther prayed for 3 days with her people around her. Mordecai prayed, asked the people to pray, and they then moved forward after prayer, and God did something miraculous. And instead of the annihilation of the Jewish people today celebrate the Feast of Purim. And it was a celebration of God intervening with his people when Hallelujah. They prayed. This can be either the most difficult time for the church where the Western civilization comes to a flickering end, or alternatively, it can be the best time for the church, for God's people to pray, to stand up. And God deals with the impossible. When Hallelujah. We see overwhelming odds against us, that's when God deals with a miracle. And we need to pray for God's miracle. I believe we'll see God's people, his church, wake up for such a time as this. Mm.
Well, a good place to end this discussion, perhaps, is with a little phrase. It is time for us to stop talking about Bonhoeffer. And right. be Bonhoeffer.
That's right.
It really comes down to that, and it may cost you. It cost him his life. He was hanged with piano wire naked by the Nazis.
3 weeks before his camp was liberated.
Yes, and he stood firm, and he's now remembered for this. What will we do to defend traditional marriage as taught in the Scriptures?
I'm reminded of what Joshua said, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods of the Amorites or the gods of our father. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
Well, these last three programs have been so important, and I hope you are more informed and prepared for how to respond when the June ruling is announced. I'm Ryan Dobson. As I mentioned earlier, regardless of what the Supreme Court decides, we will still be here fighting to preserve and promote the institution of the family and to stand for righteousness in the culture. Coming up Monday, learn what a healthy view of biblical marriage looks like when Francis and Lisa Chan are here to discuss marriage in the light of eternity. This was one of my favorite interviews of the year. Francis and Lisa are such genuine people, and they care deeply about promoting a gospel-centered life and marriage. You absolutely can't miss this program in light of what's going on in our nation. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless. Thank you for listening. Thank you for praying about what the Supreme Court is going to do in June. I'll see you next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, everyone. Ryan Dobson here. Do you want to know what the best decision my parents made on my behalf was? It was their decision to basically force me, that's right, at 17 years of age, to go to Summit Ministries for a 2-week camp. The truths about God and the world that I learned at Summit went on to shape the rest of my life and has led me to where I am today. Well, I have some exciting news about how you can save a bunch of money on sending your son or daughter to Summit. Summit has agreed to offer a $200 discount to Family Talk listeners if they use the promo code FAMILY15. Again, $200 off by using the code FAMILY15. Don't wait, because this offer ends soon. Go to summit.org today. Again, summit.org to sign up your teenager today.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. James Dobson for Family Talk, and we're privileged to stand with you to serve families and to make resources available to strengthen homes and build family legacies of faith. This is only possible through the generous support and partnership of friends like you. Now, this month, your gift can go twice as far, and it will be doubled by a dollar-for-dollar matching grant up to $200,000. This challenge is conditional. It's conditional upon your generous response. Family Talk will only secure the full match with an aggregate response of $200,000 in support. For your gift of $30 or more, we'll say thank you by sending you my latest book, Your Legacy, and its corresponding DVD from a brand new DVD series called Building a Family Legacy. We want to help you lead your kids and your family and those important in your life to Christ. And this book and the DVD will help do just that. So we look forward to hearing from you today. Call us at 877-732-6825, or you can find us on the web at drjamesdobson.org. Thank you for your support and for listening to Family Talk.